Around 6 months ago, I attended a play with Father Don at the Paramount downtown Aurora. Our seats, we sat close enough and we were towards the center, and I noticed that during the play, right, as the characters in the center of the stage, and that's where usually where the main dialogue is going on, I noticed myself once in a while, my eyes glancing to the right and then glancing to the left, and realizing that, oh my goodness, there's characters and people on the far left and far right that I didn't even notice were there, and things that they were doing on a side I wasn't even aware of. If things aren't center stage, they're out of the limelight. It's not noticed. If you've heard me at all these past 3 years, you've heard me say that life is hard, that it's filled with pain, suffering, and heartache. That's not exactly the most enlightening statement. I think we all know that deep down within us. But even with that, there's been a number of people over the last 3 years that, whether it was through email or in person, come in and talk to me, a number of people have said, Father Mark, you know, you should, you know, kind of lighten up a little bit. You're being a little bit of a Debbie Downer. I remember one person telling me, Father Mark, know that most of us in the pews are not all the time thinking how hard life is. And I think, of course, that's right. We don't typically think of that life is hard, that life is pain, it's suffering, heartache, when our lives are going great. Those realities, that just that life is hard, that we all know deep down, it, when things are going great, it just falls off a center stage. To be sure, some people are exposed to a greater degree of suffering and heartache than others. Some people, it seems, they never escape from it. Those who suffer from chronic illness, right? Every day there's children who starve to death, people who don't have clean water to drink, people who are just born in really difficult situations that, like, from the beginning, just by the means of where they were born, they're behind the eight ball. I remember a couple years ago, my brother, when their first child, Ethan, was still really small, and he just started, you know, sleeping in the other room. And I remember telling me a story that Ethan, he threw up in the middle of the night. And he hadn't thrown up before, and so he had thrown up in his bed, and he was scared, and he just came into my brother and his wife's room, and he just stood there at the edge of their bed just crying because he was scared to death of what just happened, that he just threw up. And my brother, of course, picked him up and consoled him and brought him back to the bed, cleaned him up, changed the sheets, put him back into bed. And my brother was telling me that after he got back into his room and lay down, like, he was moved to tears with the reality, the fact that there are so many kids that don't have that, that don't have a room to even go to stand, and wanting to be consoled because they're scared in the middle of the night. There's a tragic element to humanity. And that stuff, the things that I just mentioned, the tragic element of humanity goes on, and it's the case all the time. But for most of us, the majority of the time, it's just off center stage. But not now. The last couple of weeks, especially, the tragedy of humanity seems to be front and center stage. And it seems that what's being highlighted is sorrow, distress, anxiousness, confusion, death. And right now it's just on center stage for everybody to see it, to feel it. Lost jobs, businesses going under, people who their entire lives they put everything into businesses and it's gone. Death tolls rising, war zones and hospitals that we're hearing. Countless stories of people telling goodbye to their loved ones via a phone as they breathe their last in a hospital. Humanity has a tragic element to it. Now, I don't bring all these things up to depress us here on a Sunday morning, but it's to highlight something that's really important. See, today marks the beginning of Holy Week, Passion Sunday. Passion Sunday because we just read the Passion, also known as Palm Sunday. I think we prefer calling it Palm Sunday rather than Passion Sunday. But we forget that the reason why we carry in palms and have palms and wave palms during the entrance procession is just because it's an indicator that the king is entering the city so as to die. So indeed, it is Passion Sunday. And if the cross has nothing to say in the face of tragedy, then it has nothing to say ever to anyone. If Jesus doesn't have something to say to those who are in hospitals right now, if he doesn't have anything to say to those children who starve to death right now, then he shouldn't say anything to anyone ever. But he does speak, and his passion speaks loudly. He speaks right into the tragedy of our humanity. We read today in this passion, leading up, not just the climax of the passion that we just read, but the climax of the entire gospel, the climax of the entire salvation history, beginning in Genesis 1:1, was leading to this point. He's in the garden, and we read in verse 37 that Jesus began to feel sorrow and distress. That God felt sorrow and distress. The next verse, Jesus utters the cry and says, he turns to Peter, James, and John, and says, "My sorrow, my soul is sorrowful even until death." And the weight of that, God felt so much distress, so much anxiousness, that it buckled him to his knees. Later on, a couple verses later, on the cross, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God faced the tragedy of humanity. Like, he faced all the brutality of humanity. He faced it head on, and he lost. It's important for us to grasp that God, face to face to humanity, he lost. God broke. And death swallowed God. And as the great spiritual writers point out, it was by the very fact that God was swallowed up on the cross that death defeated him. It was the very act of which God then conquered death. Evil does exist, but God allows it to happen, and that is a hard thing to grasp. The price of sin needed to be paid because we couldn't pay it. Death needed to be conquered for us because no matter how hard we tried, no matter how good we are, the number of good works that we list up, we couldn't conquer death. We couldn't conquer sin. Only he could do it. And so now, where there is suffering, where there's pain, where there's sorrow, where there's distress, there is always God. And that's what this week ahead wants to highlight. The week and all of its events here, it's meant, the church desires for this week, above all other weeks, for it to be on center stage. But unfortunately, usually for us, the events of Holy Week, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, maybe some extra time for prayer. It usually just gets jammed in with a whole bunch of other things that we do, with kids are home on little vacation, we got baseball practice, we're running around getting together or getting things together for our Easter party where everyone's going to come over to the house. Not this year. Everything's different this year. And all of us have a lot more time to prepare for this great, great week in a way that we've never have before. Will we do it? Put him, especially this week, at center stage. And when he's there at center stage, just watch him. Watch what he does. Watch how he will suffer. Watch what he's going to do with sin. Watch what he's going to do to death. Watch him closely, especially this year with everything's going on. Allow him to take center stage in your sight in a way that you have never done before. And notice that when the king takes center stage, he addresses all the pains, all the sorrow, all the distress, all the suffering that's caused by evil. When Jesus takes center stage, he shines. And Easter is coming. Easter always comes.